Peter Mawson, Sunday evening, 16th of December, 2018, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to Philippians chapter 2, verse 11.
Well, I want to cheer you up tonight before we go any further, just in case you're feeling a little low, and that is that this church is a Brexit-free zone, okay? So you'll hear no more about Brexit tonight, other than the two uses of that word. Actually, we'll make it three, Brexit, okay? I think that's enough for all of us this evening. Now, my neighbours, for the last 2 years, have always delighted me by giving me a lovely calendar. Many of you will remember this. I always bring it out at this carol service. And last year, they did the same again, only it was a slightly smaller calendar because things are getting harder, aren't they? You know, now this year, they haven't given me one. So I don't have a calendar at all. Now, I won't tell you which neighbours it is. It would be embarrassing, and I tend not to use their name, Pat and Eric, often. But I will sort of just mention that tonight. So I am stuck with having to do my own calendar rather than buy a commercial one. So I thought I would get some nice pictures for me to look at this year. And the first one, of course, because I want to be really topical, and she is worth looking at on a calendar, don't you think? And this, of course, is Meghan Markle, our Duchess, who has entered into the royal family this year. We've all been watching this. Isn't it interesting how the press work on things, isn't it? Earlier this year, she could do no wrong. She was the greatest thing since sliced bread. Now, they're beginning to pick her apart, aren't they? This is typical press, isn't it? But anyway, Meghan, we've grown to like her and see her operate. What is interesting about this year, and Meghan, of course, is that she comes actually from very ordinary background, doesn't she? She is partly Black American. She is an actress. Was a Hollywood actress. So she comes from a pretty ordinary background in so many ways. And yet this ordinary lady, who probably 3 or 4 years ago would never have expected to have got married into the royal family, has now moved across into the royal household and is a duchess and on the pages of our newspapers almost every day. It's not exactly a story of rags to riches, but it's sort of that, isn't it? And what is interesting about the Christmas story, as Josh read to us a moment ago, it is the exact reverse. Because we are told in these scriptures that Christ Jesus, who Christmas is all about, who being in nature very God, who very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. You get that? Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. What we're singing about tonight, what we're celebrating over this Christmas period, is that our God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. C.S. Lewis, the great author, many of you know the Narnia stories. Boys and girls will know those stories. If us older ones don't, I suspect we do, though. He said that one day there was a stable which had something in it which was greater than the whole world. In fact, one of my church members this week said something, and I don't know whether they will remember saying it, but what they said was that on that day, Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus, took her baby into her arms. But the thing is, that baby holds the universe in his arms. That is Jesus who came to this earth. I wanted to read something to you because it so struck me this week as I was looking at this. And it's written by a man named N.T. Wright. And he used to be the Bishop of Durham. So he gives him a bit of credibility, possibly, as the Bishop of Durham. Here's what he said. Listen to this. How can you live, talking about the coming of Christ, how can you live with the terrifying thought that the hurricane has become human, that fire has become flesh, that life itself became life and walked in our midst? Christianity either means that or it means nothing. It is either the most devastating disclosure of the deepest reality of the world, or it is a sham, a nonsense, a bit of deceitful play acting. And here's the thing, because that's immense logic, isn't it? Most of us, unable to cope with saying either of those things, that he is a sham, or that he is the great God of heaven, we condemn ourselves to live in the shallow world in between. And that means, for many of us, even as we sing and think of this Christmas time, we live with a sense of indifference to the amazing historical fact that God has stepped into our world. I think with the coming of people like Meghan Markle into the royal family, together with the way William and Kate behave and Harry and Meghan, there's been a change of ethos, hasn't there, in the royal family. There's a change of culture, really. And you'll find that they're much more approachable, aren't they? They're much more down to earth, it would seem. They clearly mix with people, and people are very glad to be with them and feel comfortable to be with them. And although they're royal, they do seem to be able to make a connection with just very ordinary people and with sometimes very young children. Well, really, whatever their demeanor, and I think it is more than just PR, I think they are genuinely warm people and able to mix with all sorts. It's nothing like what Jesus did. We've just been singing about love coming to this earth, to our hearts, and changing us. And that's what those verses that Josh read just recently, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. Our Lord Jesus walked through the dusty streets of Judea. He mixed in the places where there was disease and illness and poverty. I once was visiting homes near to my church many years ago. And I knocked on a door that I didn't know. I didn't know the family in there. And the door opened, and an elderly lady, dressed in black, actually, I remember, was standing at the door. And just behind her was a teenager. And behind them was an extremely large black dog. But here's the thing that struck me, almost physically, was the smell of poverty. I don't think, coming from a sheltered upbringing, perhaps, I had ever encountered in an instant such poverty. And it was truly shocking. It was so shocking, I'm surprised the dog stuck around, to be honest. If I'd have been him, I'd have legged it. It was truly awful. But that's what Jesus did. He came from the glories of heaven. He who knew only the majesty of heaven and the worship of heaven as the Son of God stepped into our vile, sinful, and sick world. But more than that, do you remember this that took place in July? Not very good pictures, because there's a reason for that. Do you remember what that was? Thank you. It's almost a rhubarb moment, as I call it here. You know, that's what actors do when they're on stage and there's supposed to be a crowd scene. They don't actually speak to each other. Did you know that? They go rhubarb, 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 and everything. It comes out as though that's what that sounded like. Who are they? Anyone know? Which country?
Thailand.
12 boys and their teacher, football team, trapped in a terrible cave in Thailand with the water rising all the time. There was no way those boys were going to get out, were they? And it went on for days, didn't it? How on earth were they going to be helped? And in fact, they almost literally moved heaven and earth to get these boys and their teacher out of the place. And in the end, there were amazingly brave divers, weren't there? Some of them were British, who went underneath the water in this terrible danger of these caves in order to somehow get these boys, most of them weren't particularly swimmers, to get them through the water and out again. And of course, they did. They were rescued. Sadly, one of the divers died, didn't he? And he actually lost his life in his effort to save these boys. And that is what Jesus did. You see, the trouble for you and I think we all struggle with this, is that we almost get to Christmas and it goes into freeze frame, doesn't it? Here's Jesus, here's Mum and Dad, Mary and Joseph, in the cradle, freeze frame. What happens next? Well, in our minds, nothing. But that is not what is the case. And we read it here, that being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. He came to this earth amongst people like you and me by becoming obedient to death. Even, and here's the shocking thing, even death on a cross. That's what Jesus did. He came in order to die on a cross. And in order to be put in a cold, borrowed tomb. And in order to rise again from the dead, as these singers were singing. And in order to go into heaven, back into glory. Why? For us. He did it for men and women. That's what we were singing, wasn't it? He did it that our sins could be forgiven. That we could be changed. That we could have peace with God. That we could be different people. That we can start again. This is all that Jesus did. He humbled himself even to the death on a cross. There is no freeze frame. You cannot have that cradle without the cross and without the empty tomb and without the glory of heaven itself. Jesus came even to die upon a cross for our sins. Well, it may be that the new royals are very much on a level with us, or at least try to be. But the reality is, of course, if we met them, they'd hardly be our chums, would they? That sounded very public school, didn't it? You know what I mean? They wouldn't be our mates, I think. We would treat them with a certain amount of respect, if not awe. I was once invited to the Queen's garden party. Please yourself. And I can tell you now that all the people that were there, and there were hundreds on that day, and all the royal family were there, nobody treated them as friends. They were introduced and had proper deference and were very polite. And although the Queen and the family were very polite themselves and lovely, they weren't your friends, and they were something else, not quite the same as us. It's an interesting thing that when the Queen was crowned back in 1953, I vaguely remember it, she, of course, was dressed in all her royal regalia. She carried a wonderful crown on her head. She had the orb and scepter in her hands. And she had these beautiful royal robes as well. But there's an interesting thing that happens in the coronation, and some of you will remember it very well. And that is that when the Queen had been crowned, and all sorts of people had to come up and declare their allegiance to the Queen and their deference to her. Do you remember that? And even the Duke of Edinburgh, her husband, had to come up and say that he would be loyal to her. But when all of that had happened, the Queen has her crown taken off her. And she has these royal robes removed. And they take out of her hands the scepter and the orb. And she now stands just in a white plain gown. And then she kneels at the altar, and there she is given communion. It's a really poignant moment, isn't it? And the reason it's poignant is because our Queen of this United Kingdom, the Queen of the Commonwealth, at that moment, she bows before the King of the Universe. She bows before the Lord Jesus Christ and takes communion, which reminds her of Christ's sacrifice upon the cross for her. And she, in that moment, is pleading and praying to the Lord Jesus, to the God of heaven, that he will give wisdom and power and strength in order to rule righteously. And those of us who listen to the Queen each Christmas know she is not ashamed to make that declaration, is she? She will tell you that she trusts in this Christ, and it is he that keeps her in the sort of life that she has had to live. So this Queen bows before Christ. And that's really where we are as we enter, because we've moved from the cradle to the cross, and we move now into heaven. Therefore, because of Christ dying on the cross, we are told, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, even the Queen of England, that in at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every king, queen, emperor, dictator, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The question for us at Christmas, I think, for every one of us, even for me as a minister, is am I going to live in the margin? Am I going to live with a sense of indifference to what this all means? Am I going to live as though, in the end, I'm not going to engage with this because it's more comfortable not to? Or am I going to be like those shepherds and like those magi, the wise men who traveled from Persia to see this Saviour? Am I going to be the one who is prepared to bow the knee, as our Queen did, before this Lord Jesus Christ? That is the call of Christmas, that we are prepared to bow the knee, that we are prepared to enfold this Christ as our Saviour and as our Lord. And we will never be the same again, because he changes us and he comes to meet with us as a friend, as well as Saviour and Lord.